that is part of a $50 billion US dollar industry, expected to double in size by 2024. But in the Philippines, it is linked to criminal activity involving corruption.
As a frontline immigration officer, I have personally witnessed various illegal transactions over the years.
Human trafficking and kidnapping.
Itong isang tao na to ay nag-apply ng pugo. Ayaw magtrabaho, ibibinta sa'yo. So ayaw mo rin magtrabaho, ibibinta sa kanya.
It's a deadly business. Welcome to the dark side of online gambling. Online gambling has seen a massive boom in the past decade. Today, customers can access gambling sites from almost anywhere around the world.
You may begin your bets now. Have you made up your mind yet?
With a simple click, customers can place wagers of as little as $2 to thousands of dollars. This is gambling in the digital age. And it's big business in the Philippines. The gambling companies who run online gambling sites are Philippine offshore gambling operators, or POGO for short. As of January 2021, there are 52 of them operating legally. However, they are outnumbered by an estimated 200 unlicensed ones. Both licensed and unlicensed POGOs have been linked to illegal activities. POGOs hire employees in the thousands, mostly from China, since they have to communicate with the customers, the bulk of whom are also Chinese. And it's at the recruiting stage where the deception starts. Ralph Rivas is a journalist who's been investigating the POGOs for the past few years.
From what I learned, no, it's not very transparent because they tell you that you're going to be a translator or someone who will work for IT. And then when they get here, they realize that it's a gambling company. Well, technically, it's correct to say that they work for an IT company, but then again, it's an IT company that caters to online casinos. And I guess the Chinese workers figure it out late because they're scared, they're afraid because gambling is not allowed in China.
Sasabihin nila na, pag sa Pilipinas ka, huge amount of salaries and a lot of accommodation and including vehicles. Pagdating nila rito, lahat ng pangako na yan, negative. Negative yan. Pagdating nila rito, kukunin yung kanilang passport. Pag mag-resist ang kanilang would-be victim, tatawagan na yung mga kamag-anak o asawa, bubugbugin, di pa pakainin.
This deception has trapped many Chinese nationals in the Philippines. Miss C is a Chinese national and a former POGO employee. Her recruiters misrepresented the job in the Philippines to her. They concealed the fact that she would be working for a gambling company. However, once Miss C arrived in Manila, she suspected that something was not right. Her working and living conditions in the Philippines were not what was promised by the recruiters in China.
Manila, yang un laimin opo elang so sai abo chingki la a chige pa kyo gongsi o a jile bai zo chit dit ji dit zo yap si xio si gun si bo hiu xia ge la jiu tou gun zhe ge hun jing e ja ja zhua ja zu si zhe ge hun jing tou gun hiu xia ga an ni lang a gun zui tao ge o si dui ge zai dong si o din pai si la na un chong un dio ge zai dong si na chong un dio zu si diam gun min tao jing le hua gun le ma gun bing cha ge pa gun A guni tau ke o ka zui si tai jok lang la. Au ci gua Filipin lang din.
Pogos are joint ventures between local Filipino companies and foreign companies, the majority of which come from China.
For you to operate, you need to have a Filipino company partner because they hold the licenses. And also they are responsible for you to get the office space. They also provide you internet services and IT services. So it's a partnership. So there's a Chinese Pogo company or some other nationalities that may be operating in Pogos. And then you have a Filipino counterpart here. So they form a joint venture for them to operate.
The Pogos operate with a hierarchy, where the owners and financiers sit at the very top, and most often live overseas. In the middle, there are supervisors who work on location at the Pogo site to manage the frontliners. The frontliners are the card dealers for their online casino, marketing personnel, back-end tech support, and customer support like Miss C. Her job was to communicate directly with customers who had questions like how to play the games and also requests to withdraw their winnings. At the Pogo where Miss C worked, the employees feared for their lives.
点鬼心内，点鬼专心哦！我有一个惊吓，落个无欢喜了啦。
With the help of a local friend, she managed to escape.
啊，我家哦有一个菲律宾人，我咧讲阮翻译个哦，帮助我逃走出去啦。了，伊讲灭了一个水晶棒啦。这阵哦，我身边无半仙了啦，我唔知要创啥了啦。
She was too afraid to even make a report at the local police station. Instead, she remained in hiding.
I'm not going to go to the police station because I'm not a person. I'm afraid to go to the police station. I'm afraid. I'm going to go to the police station. I'm going to go to the police station.我也想着我家庭，我的妈妈，我的爸爸，我的乡亲，我的兄弟，我也惊哦，因为我的护照无伫外地，因刚抢去，我无钱通买飞机票。哦，我也爱因跪下骨，因为因对我不是人，对我是工人，因是鬼啊，因不是人啊。
Miss C is just one of many displaced Chinese nationals stuck in limbo in the Philippines. For her fellow Pogo runaways, their fear of the authorities is not misplaced.
I already told them that I want to go home, but they forced me to work for them and always say that they have a protector behind them who is government people. So I think even I run,
away, In the Philippines, online gaming operators known as Pogos have been recruiting aggressively to support the rapidly growing gambling industry. It is estimated that they serve millions of customers online yearly, mostly from China. In 2018, the industry was estimated to have raked in a revenue of $6 billion. While most employees are recruited from China, some Filipinos have also been hired as card dealers in their virtual casinos. Clarice is a Filipino who had worked as a dealer at a Pogo for the past few years. This is an example of the kind of attire she was forced to wear while on the job.
Una po, nagtitingin po ako sa Facebook ng job. Then nakita ko po yung group ng mga online casino dealer. And then sumali po ako dun. And then yung schedule po nun, parang kinabukasan, nagpunta na po ako. After nung one day, tatawagan daw po kami. And then kinabukasan, natanggap na po ako. Po, yung training po namin is 28 days. Ayun po, tinuturoan po kami ng baraha, sikbo, kung paano po yung procedures and rules. And then yung sa roulette naman po, kung paano yung pagpitik, yung tamang pagpitik. Ayun po. Let's begin now. Good luck!
The Pogos recruit young, attractive women who deal at actual casino tables that have been set up in the Pogo buildings. But instead of having real customers seated in front of them, cameras film and broadcast this via the online gambling sites.
Yes po, sinabi po nila na ano kami, ang kaharap po namin is camera, hindi tao, kasi po online casino nga po. Player, banker. Yung sa uniform naman po namin, sexy po kasi yung uniform namin. Para daw po kasi ma-attract yung mga customers namin, especially sa mga lalaki po. Para dun po sila tataya sa amin. Kaya po, kailangan sexy yung aming costume.
Player base at water car for the banker.
Umpisa, akala ako madali lang, papasok ka, tapos pag-uwi mo, tulog, at pasok ka na naman. Hanggang sa tumatagal po, minsan nag-overtime na kasi po, 8 hours po kami. And then, meron po kaming 2 hours for the makeup and the hairstyle. Kailangan po mas maaga ka before the 2 hours na yun. Kaya minsan po, nakakapagod talaga.
The Pogo she worked for was legally registered. But they still hired Chinese nationals who did not have legal working visas.
Sa aming mga dealers, okay naman po, legal. And then nung nalaman ko po yung sa admin po namin, di ba po, merong mga Chinese, may halong Pilipino. Yung iba pong Chinese doon is illegal po pala.
However, her former employers found ways to prevent their illegal employees from being arrested.
Binabayaran po ng company namin yung otoridad para po magtuloy-tuloy po yung trabaho ng empleyado namin Chinese.
It is estimated that there are between 100,000 to 250,000 Chinese nationals employed by Pogos in the Philippines. Not all of them possess the required alien employment permits, which allow foreigners to work legally in the Philippines for more than 6 months. How were these Pogo employees able to enter the country without valid working visas in the first place? It all started with the immigration checkpoints at the Ninoy Aquino International Airport.
As a frontline immigration officer, I have personally witnessed various illegal transactions over the years involving the extortion of money in exchange for unimpeded passage through the Philippines, whether leaving or entering our country.
It was dubbed the Pastila Scheme. And it began after Pogo licenses were issued by the Philippines government in 2016.
At doon nga po sa aming investigasyon, na-correlate natin yan na nung nag-open yung mga Pogo na yan, dumami yung pumapasok ng mga Chino at doon na nga nagkaroon ng modus na pastillas. Kasi 95% ng pumapasok sa pastillas ay mga Chino o Inchik.
We have a fish first. Ma'am, isa po. Follow me.
The pastillas scheme was exposed with hidden camera footage from a whistleblower.
Ba?
Wala po kayo.
Madami. Wala talaga eh.
Okay lang yung
tulip. Oo.
Sabihin mo pare, sila tulip.
Kaya kahapon, naglagay ng cellphone. Sabi ko huwag kasi mapahamak rin.
Based dun po sa ating investigasyon, ano, na-establish natin yung modus na pinapalusot yung mga dayuhan, lalo na po yung mga Chino sa airport nang wala na pong validation ng mga dokumento. In short, ano na po sila, VIP na, no? Pin-exchange nga po doon sa kabayaran na sabi nga ng mga witnesses natin na 10,000 per kada tao. Oo.
It was dubbed the Pastila Scheme because the bribe money was wrapped up in white paper. Much like the pastillas, a local Filipino candy. The scheme involved a network of people, immigration officers who were receiving bribes, and people outside the Bureau of Immigration with links to POGOs who were offering the bribes.
Most of them are workers, immigration workers, immigration officers. Pero meron din po dyan yung mga private na mga individual, kagaya ng mga may-ari ng travel agency, yung mga interpreter na hindi naman talaga kawani ng Bureau of Immigration.
The exact scale of the corruption was revealed at a January 2020 Senate probe into the activities of the POGOs, led by Senator Risa Hontiveros.
Please state your name. Do solemnly swear to tell the truth, that the whole truth and nothing but the truth before this committee.
We've been able to track so far the so-called Pastilla Scheme, which involved Chinese POGO employees paying an additional sum of money by way of bribes for seamless entry into the country straight to their POGO company places of employment.
The details of the scheme involving the Bureau of Immigration was exposed by one of their very own, immigration officer and frontliner Allison Cheong.
Immigration officers received through a group chat in the Viber application a list of names of Chinese nationals who were to be allowed entry into the Philippines without going through the usual immigration process. These Chinese nationals were no longer required to undergo screening. They were simply let inside the Philippines without question or investigation. These groups worked with travel agencies in China, the latter being the origin of the names of the entering foreign nationals. I noticed that Chinese nationals who fit the profile of an employee for a POGO company enter our country with a tourist visa applied for with the Philippine consulates. Each cooperating immigration officer would receive around 20,000 pesos weekly for Terminal 1 and 8,000 weekly for Terminal 3 duties.
Somebody rigged the system, centralized the operations, and made this into a billion peso enterprise. Somebody sold our country's borders for Chinese money.
Undercover Asia digs deeper and uncovers darker crimes that are linked to the POGOs. The Philippines has turned into a hub for offshore gambling operators, better known as POGOs. But it has come at a price. There's been a surge in crime, including human trafficking. Agents recruiting for the POGOs have been deceiving individuals, mostly from China, into accepting jobs in the Philippines. The agents failed to reveal that the jobs are for the online gambling industry, which is banned in China. Senator Risa Hontiveros is chairing a Senate probe into the illegal activities linked to the POGOs. The proceedings have been broadcast publicly since January 2020. She believes that the corruption at airport immigration checkpoints made it easier for syndicates supplying employees to the POGOs to traffic people into the Philippines.
I have to be sure to tell everything. They threatened me. My boss threatened me.
Ivy, a Taiwanese national, testified at a Senate hearing that she was a victim of human trafficking and forced to work for a POGO. She was recruited back in Taiwan and offered a job in an advertising company in Manila. Upon arrival, she would lose her freedom.
When she got here, it turned out it was an illegal fly-by-night POGO company. Her employers confiscated her passport until it expired, so until her visa expired, so effectively rendering her an undocumented alien here. They made her work practically 24 hours a day for days on end, and they even sexually harassed her.
I already told them that I want to go home. I want to go back to Taiwan. But they forced me to work for them. And always say that they have a protector behind them, who is government people. So I think even I run away, this game, they will still find me and show me. Every time my boss, when he is mad, he always shout it in Chinese, say, "You are now my staff. I already bought you from other boss." So they say I have to work for them. And my cell phone has to turn on 24 hours. They treat me like a slave.
Ivy was rescued in a raid conducted by the National Bureau of Investigation. Other unhappy POGO employees have also run away from their employers. But some of them ended up back in the hands of their employers.
One case was related to some Chinese POGO employees who, when they came here, found that their employment conditions were not what had been promised them when they were still in China. And so they resisted. When they resisted, they were simply kidnapped by their employers. And those employers extorted ransom from these employees' families back home in China. So really a terrible practice of crimes being committed against each other, Chinese nationals, here in the Philippines.
Pagdating ng 2019, dumami na yung POGO-related kidnapping. Before, ang lagi nilang alibi na, let's say, itong isang particular person ayaw magtrabaho sa kanila. Bubugin nila, dadali sa safe house, bubugbugin. And then, afterwards, dadalhin ngayon sa isang secluded area.
If the former employee still refused to return to work after being punished, the POGOs would then demand for a fee to be paid for their release.
Ipapadala ngayon yung mga video sa magulang ng kanilang victim. Pag napadala ro sa magulang, hihingi sila ng ransom. That's the time na yung mga yung relatives, immediate relatives ng mga biktima, nagpapadala.
The ransom money for their release is to make up for the fees that their POGO employers had paid to agents for bringing them over to the Philippines in the first place. On December 31st, 2020, the anti-kidnapping group from the police received a tip-off. Two Chinese nationals had kidnapped a POGO employee in Cavite. The victim was kidnapped shortly after he'd informed his employers that he wanted to leave the company. When the victim's family failed to pay the ransom of over $180,000, he was beaten up. The police believe the POGOs are responsible for these armed kidnapping groups.
May mga baril at meron silang mga mga grupo na gumagala sa lugar kung saan sila nag-stay. Sapagkat masyado ng yung ginagawa nilang playing ground ang Pilipinas.
The POGO issue has ruffled feathers with China, a traditional ally of the Philippines. All forms of gambling are illegal in China. Therefore, many Chinese gambling companies have resorted to operating overseas. Over 200 illegal operations are estimated to be running in the Philippines alone.
Sit down.
Okay, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can only be used against you in the court of law.
I think they're definitely exploiting loopholes here and there. Because for one, gambling is illegal in China, right? But they looked for ways for it to be legal. They came here in Manila because gambling operations is allowed.
The Chinese government believes that POGOs target customers from China. So it's been pressuring the Philippines to ban all forms of online gambling.
So definitely the China, although initially for years they have not spoken up about it, but last year the Chinese embassy has told the Philippine government to stop the industry.
POGOs are regulated by the Philippines Amusement and Gaming Corporation, better known as PAGCOR. PAGCOR is responsible for regulating, operating, authorizing, and licensing gambling activities in the Philippines.
Perhaps most importantly, we don't yet have a law that regulates online gambling. POGO here is regulated only by executive or administrative rules. So those are comparatively more flexible and easier to bend.
PAGCOR falls under the office of the President of the Philippines, who appoints the head of PAGCOR and the majority of its board members. President Duterte has been a supporter of POGOs in the Philippines. He claims they provide jobs and make big tax contributions.
Ngayon ang POGO, I will assure under my oath of office as President of this Republic, as elected by you, yung POGO na yan, insofar kami dito, malinis yan. But it employs something like 20,000 dito sa Maynila. Dito lang yung POGO. PAGCOR is like 17 billion a year.
However, investigations have revealed that legally registered POGOs have been guilty of tax evasion.
The Bureau of Internal Revenue has said that for the legal POGOs alone, they already owe the government 50 million pesos and counting. And that's just for the legal POGOs. So what more of the illegal POGOs?
The Department of Finance estimates that there are 100,000 employees in the POGO industry who are also not paying the required taxes.
Another Senate committee has also uncovered the practice, for example, of issuing one taxpayer identification number, or TIN, for more than one Chinese POGO worker. So in terms not only of the corporate income tax owed by POGO companies to government, we would have to add the personal income tax owed by individual Chinese POGO employees to the Philippine government.
The Senate inquiry also revealed that only 2 out of 10 available jobs are given to Filipinos in the POGO industry.
Well, working in the POGOs, according to our resource persons, requires either that you be a mainland Chinese person or very, very familiar with the culture and expert in the language. So I wonder what jobs for Filipinos they're talking about.
Undercover Asia reached out to Pakko, but they denied our request for an interview. As the probe deepens, more disturbing crimes on social media that are linked to the POGO industry are uncovered. Corruption, human trafficking, and kidnapping have all been linked to the online gambling industry in the Philippines. The National Bureau of Investigation believes the presence of POGOs in the Philippines have also caused an escalation in sex crimes.
Ang tingin ko po no, ng mga krimen na kakibat itong mga POGO, pagdami ng mga Chino rito, ay una po, siyempre, yung may mga pangangailangan yan, ano? Pangangailangan sexual. So hindi po natin maalis na talagang nangangailangan sila ng mga babae, ganun. So nagkaroon po tayo ng mga incidents ng mga prostitution, ano, na kung saan, prostitution din na kung saan, mga kababaihang Chino naman ang mga nandoon na nagkikater lang exclusively sa mga kalalakihang Chino. Isa po yan, dumami po yan, no? So illegal po yan at marami-rami na, meron na po tayong mga na-raid.
Prostitution rings are now operating like food delivery businesses.
It was social media apps or platforms that were used by these prostitution dens, catering to Chinese POGO employees in order to advertise the women as if they were commodities. These were the platforms of Telegram and WeChat. They would upload photos of the women and, you know, stream these or distribute these to their potential customers. There were even menus as if the women were food to be ordered. And indeed, the customer would simply choose and then order the woman. And the woman would take public transportation or a Grab vehicle and arrive at the hotel. Or the condominium. Those Chinese POGO employees would pay at least 6,000 pesos per woman, more if they were required to perform other services or stay overnight.
Even girls as young as 15 years old were made available to POGO employees.
Bali siya po kami lahat na nagtatrabaho po doon. Sinabi po nila sa akin na puro mga Chinese daw po yung magiging customers namin. Wala pong Pilipino, as in, ayun po, puro Chinese. Then, tatawag na po sila noon sa amin. May ano po kami, may account po yung amo ko kung saan doon po sila nag-uusap para pagpilian po yung mga girls sa amin kung sino po yung magse-service sa kanila. Tapos once na po na nandun na po kami, ayain po muna namin sila ng massage. Then after po ng massage, after 2 hours po, ayain na po namin sila ng extra service. Yung unang beses po na ginawa ko yun is naiyak na lang po talaga ako na parang nagsorry po ako kay God. Nanginginig po ako as in parang gusto ko pong tumakbo na wala po akong magawa. Hindi po ako makagalaw, parang nakakadena na po talaga ako sa ganung trabaho.
However, Park Gore issued a statement in May 2020 claiming pogos shouldn't be blamed for prostitution rings in the Philippines.
Our national police itself says that indeed the rise of the pogos was accompanied by the rise of prostitution and trafficking in the Philippines. So that is a parallel phenomenon already.
The National Bureau of Investigation has declared war on illegal pogos. Victor Lorenzo and his team from the Cybercrime Unit have conducted multiple raids on illegal pogos, determined to shut them down.
Ang focus natin sa online gambling as yung mga operators na walang kaukulang lisensya na binibigay ng gobyerno through Park Gore. Yun ang hinahabol natin, yung walang lisensya.
Put your hands away from the computer.
English. You can speak English.
English. Kasi di ba nagbibigay ng lisensya ang Park Gore pagka hindi ka nag-apply at nag-operate ka dito sa Pilipinas, ibig sabihin, illegal yung operation mo. At madami na rin kami na-conduct na operations against them. Hinuhuli natin sila, kinoconfiscate natin yung mga computers, dinedemanda natin at dinedeport natin sila kung saan sila galing na bansa. Ang statistics ng cybercrime, in 2019, nakahuli kami ng 200 plus na illegally operating here in the Philippines of different nationalities. Madami din kaming mga tools, tini-scan namin ang cyber world, baka may mga information dyan that will lead to the location of location noong kung saan ginagawa yung illegal online gaming. Kung sino ang nandun sa site kung saan ginagawa yung illegal online gaming operations, dapat arestado lahat yun. Of course, minsan may mga nakikita kami mga utilities, mga janitors na mga Pilipino. Hindi na namin sinasama yun, nire-record na lang namin.
While the ground staff are arrested, their bosses at the top, the financiers, are not. Most of them are based overseas.
Actually, yung mga financiers, investors, hindi yan nagpa-participate dun sa actual operation ng illegal online gaming. Kasi nasa ibang bansa yan at they operate, at kinokontrol nila yan remotely kahit nasa ibang bansa sila. Of course, may mga managers yan, may mga team leaders. Yun lang ang na-aresto natin dun sa actual illegal online gaming operations.
Legally registered POGOs too have not been spared. Those that owe the government taxes have been shut down by the Bureau of Internal Revenue. Over 40 immigration officers implicated in the Pastila scheme have also been suspended. The scheme saw immigration frontliners receiving bribes from syndicates working with POGOs. They facilitated the unvalidated entry of foreigners into the Philippines.
So tingnan nyo na lang, tinik-advantage nila kung titingnan natin yung kanilang posisyon at trabaho bilang isang immigration officer. So sila po yung may kapangyarihan humarang. Sila rin ang may kapangyarihan magpapasok. Di po ba? Kaya sa tingin namin, nagamit nila o naabuso yung binigay ng kapangyarihan sa kanila, nabantayan yung ating mga paliparan.
However, an unresolved question remained. Was the Pastillas corruption scheme the work of a few errant immigration officers at the front lines? Or were there others involved? A member of the Pastillas gang testified that the corruption had gone deep within the Bureau of Immigration.
Siguro po mga 90% ng personnel sa airport kasama po sa corruption. Dahil organized corruption siya eh. So, yun po. Madami po talagang kasali. Pero common knowledge na po sa aming mga primary inspectors na may hierarchy po talaga sa loob ng airport. So, from POD chief po, pababa.
Each passenger who wanted special treatment at airport immigration paid $200 for entry. $40 is split amongst immigration officers on the ground. The rest is distributed to the foreign tour operators who brought them in, their partners in the Philippines, and the syndicate running the scheme at the airport. The scheme appeared to be well planned and organized. Everyone involved had a specific role to play.
The Pastillas scheme really looks like a pyramiding scheme because there are the foot soldiers, including the frontline Bureau of Immigration personnel, the inspection officers or immigration officers, and the Viber chat administrators. Then there are the mid-level supervisors like the terminal supervisors or directors. And there are those at the very peak of that pyramid, the bosses and masterminds and the possible protectors.
During the Senate probe, whistleblowers pointed the finger at Mark Red Marinas as the mastermind pulling the strings behind the scenes.
Sensing the immigration officer's lucrative operation, the Travel Control Enforcement Unit chiefs, namely Bien Guevara, Glenn Comia, and Ben Binsol, who were then under former Ports Operation Division Chief Red Marinas, decided to take over the operation. They took control of the collections from entering and departing passengers, then disbursed commissions at the end of every week.
However, Mark Marinas denied the allegations.
We are not a perfect organization.
No, sir, so but I'm just there's no perfect organization. Yeah. But when you stepped into office, you knew there were irregularities and illegal operations there.
Yes, we found out some irregularities.
Thank you.
Madam, we've been doing some efforts when we found those irregularities. We'll be continuing implementing such programs to eliminate and to run after these groups and to dismantle. I went to the NBI to submit myself for the reason that I would like to deny all these allegations.
Senator Hontiveros believes that the true ringleaders have not been exposed.
I'm not yet satisfied because I really do believe that the accountability goes even deeper or even higher above the masterminds or bosses already identified by Dale Ignacio and Alex Chong. There seems to be another protector because they conducted these criminal activities quite brazenly and over the span of several years. So we are still going after the identification and accountability of that mastermind or those masterminds. And maybe we will be able to identify them with the last hearing on that third and possibly final revenue stream, that of outbound trafficking and prostitution.
Despite pressure locally and from abroad to ban pogos, there are plans to further develop the industry in the next few years. The city of Cavite, for instance, is building a pogo city, a self-contained hub for pogo activity. Here, over 70 hectares of land have been designated to establish a one-stop shop complete with government offices, entertainment centers, commercial and residential spaces that will be dedicated to the pogo industry. But Senator Hontiveros is not giving up. The Senate hearings and its investigation into the pogo industry's links to criminal activity will continue.
I can't see how we could really benefit from the pogos, honestly. So if that will be the decision that will be made by the government at the very end, I cannot say that I would welcome it. And I would keep an eye out. My committee would keep an eye out. The Senate would keep an eye out for how these pogos, if government would still insist on operating them in spite of all this, how they would continue to operate here.
At this point, because of all my investigations, I don't think it's worth it for pogos to stay here. We've seen a surge in crime incidents, a rise of rental rates that the local Filipinos aren't able to afford anymore. The Philippine government has not shown, or has shown very little signs that they are able to collect the right taxes from them. So why are pogos still here? I mean, it makes you think. I mean, what are the greater forces that's protecting them, right?